We're thrilled to announce that we now have 7 powerful devotionals available on YouVersion's Bible app. For those not in the know, YouVersion is the top Bible app in the world, and we're honored to be on this incredible platform. Our devotionals dive deep into the pillars that define the lion within us: health, wealth, and self. So whether you're seeking spiritual growth, financial wisdom, or personal development, these devotionals are tailor-made for you. So ready to embark on this transformative journey and unleash the lion within you? Head over to thelionwithin.us/YouVersion to access our devotions on the YouVersion app. Join thousands of like-minded individuals and dive into the Word with us. That's thelionwithin.us/YouVersion. That's YouVersion. And let's grow together and become the leaders God intends us to be. All right, guys, welcome back to The Lion Within Us. This week, we're going to be talking about wealth, specifically debt. Now, this is a tough verse. This is a verse that's going to hit a lot of people between the eyes. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave of the lender. And that's a hard verse. And I have with me this week back Mr. Adam Sheets. You guys, he's been on the show before. So we're excited to have Adam back. Adam, how you doing this evening, man?
Good. Thank you so much for having me back.
Oh, brother. This is fun stuff. I love having you on. And although I can't say that I love this topic, this is a tough one, man. This is a tough topic for sure.
Pill to swallow, that's for sure.
It is. I mean, as I think about the lions out there that are trying to lead their families, and you know, you got Satan attacking you every day. And one way that he attacks is with debt. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think we all have to face that. And you know, and I think we need to start off with, you know, how people just view debt. You know, what do they actually think about when they think about the word debt, right?
Right. I mean, gosh, this is such a hard, it's not a hard topic to talk about. It's one when, you know, I've been the listener on many different major podcasts and stuff out there where it's like, oh, that's easy for you. Because you're the person who's doesn't have any debt. And I used to have, you know, well over $200,000 in debt. Today, I don't have that. And so I can say, yeah, it was a hard journey to get through that. But that's why I think this verse is so impressive and important, is because being on the other side, it's worth, you know, sitting down and sharing some of those nuggets along the way.
No doubt. I mean, and just look at the core of the verse, the slave of the lender. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's visions that come to mind when you envision slavery.
Oh yeah.
Right. And they're not good. It's terrible. Yeah. It's terrible. It's bondage. You don't want that, man. It's a terrible thing to be tied to. And, you know, I got allergic to it too, you know, and I went through, you know, a lot of Ramsey stuff and doing financial coaching and things like that. And, you know, it's freeing when you get the debt off you. And we're in similar boats where my only payment now is the house payment. And one day that will be gone. You know, but you know, when you don't owe anybody anything, you know, it's a really good feeling, but it takes a lot of work and dedication and mind shift to get there, because the world views right now, debt is almost so nonchalant. I mean, I was even watching TV earlier, and it was a commercial, and they were talking about people with bad credit scores. Mm-hmm. And it was a lending institution that was saying, hey, if you want to get your credit score better, just borrow $10,000 more and show you can pay that back. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like,
you can't pay the stuff you already advice. Have. You know, like, why take on more?
Like, here, Mr. Alcoholic, have a drink, you know, like, what are you doing? Right. And people fall for this stuff, man.
Every time. It's sad. But then again, it's like, you need this now, right? That instant gratification in one way of our daily habits, but it plays out financially too. We want things right now. And you got to have a totally different mind to get out of debt.
You do. And that gratification thing, you know, a lot of our listeners, they're younger, mm-hmm. you know, you're getting started, you know, just because your parents have a 3,000 square foot home and they live in a nice subdivision doesn't mean you do.
Right.
right now, you know, there you have to work your way there. And it just, it baffles me how quickly, you know, and look, this is speaking strictly from experience and life lessons and a lot of bruises of how quickly I don't really care about how much I owe you. I just need to know how much that monthly payment is.
Yeah.
Because if I got that payment covered, yeah, baby, everything is gravy, baby. I'm not really worried about it.
That's right. And, you know, it's one of those things that delayed gratification is the only way. And I think, you know, I think the Ramsey model is a very strong model to help people out of that.
Right.
You got to get emotional with it. You got to hate debt. Just like taking it scripturally, you have to hate sin in order to change. You can't just be like, I'll make a little change here and there. Like, you don't, because we naturally are drawn to that. You know,
right.
Sin's easy and debt's easy.
Right. Right.
The Bible talks about debt very poorly. And just like it does sin, you know, you are slave to that lender. It's a slippery slope once you get started, because then you're like, you start living outside of your means again because you just got this big cash flow influx. And then there's the next one. Oh, I need to take another little bit so that I can cover this. And oh, I need to take it a little bit so I can take a vacation. And then turn around. You're just like, what happened?
You drowned it.
Right.
You know, and the show, you know, everything here, the lion within us, we're trying to teach people to be lions, not sheep.
Right.
And what we see with this debt, what's happening out here, it's sheep-like behavior. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. And, you know, as a financial coach and things that I've done, you know, outside to try to serve people and help people get past this bondage of debt is, you know, it blows me away to see six-figure income families, and there are plenty of them out there, that are living paycheck to paycheck, right, and they probably couldn't cover a $400, $500, $600 emergency.
That's right.
You know, and I mean, that's like real life, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is real stuff, right? And like, you've making six figures, you know, and you would think, well, you're having it covered. Well, no, because what have you done the whole time? Your expenses have done nothing but that except follow your income.
That's right.
And your income is your only way to build wealth. It's frustrating for me too, because when I sit down with people and I see that they've gotten caught in a trap, and right, and it's, I don't think people intend for it to happen, but it's so easy to get on that slope.
Right. I would also just add to, you know, we've even had a lot of marketing. There's a lot of material out there. I can see where some of these people go, like kind of like rich dad, poor dad, you know, like there's such thing as good debt. Like, we've even had to classify the kind of debt that it is. Oh, this is good debt, this is bad debt. Like,
right.
That's how we work as humans. You know, God sees sin as sin.
Right.
Not a white lie is okay every once in a while, and, you know, murdering someone, well, that's like sin. Don't do that.
Right.
You know, it follows very similar processes. Now, on the other hand, like, yeah, I own a home. I still have debt. I think that there is safer bets, and we have to manage that out. But, you know, you don't bet the farm on something, or you don't take out a huge, you know, giant thing to go on a vacation. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know you want it, but figure out how you can unplug and recharge. That doesn't cost anything, because you can't afford to go to Maui.
That's right. That's right. You know? I already got, well, Adam, let's take a quick break and then we'll jump back in and talk about maybe how do people really get into debt? Because I think sometimes it hits us before we even see it coming. So we'll be right back, guys. Satan will do everything possible to destroy you. Are you prepared? Start training today with the Leadership for Christian Men Bible Study. The focus of this Bible study will be to help you and your lion's den grow in the areas of health, mind and body, wealth, career and finances, and self, husbands and dads. We know it can be intimidating being a Christian leader. This study will help you identify areas to work on and grow the relationships around you that will make an impact for the kingdom. If you still feel uncertain, remember, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. See our site, thelionwithin.us, for details. right, guys, we're back here. And let's just talk about how people get into debt. And, you know, from a financial coaching standpoint, the thing, the common thread that I see a lot of people and couples in particular that are entangled in this debt problem, it's really starting at the student loans. And, you know, if you're married and you're out there and you're trying to lead your family, you know, you got to deal with the student loans. But what I want to try to talk to you guys about is, and think about is doing education outside of student loans, because it can be done. You know, you have to think about it differently. And, you know, that's why I love coaching young men and trying to help them think through this. And one thing, you know, particularly even for me, the 4-year college, while they're great, the first 2 years, you can do those anywhere. You know, that's 2 years of general education, and your local community college could be a great place to do that. You know, and I think that is, you know, you got to be looking for deals. And one thing that are off the books for our family is, you know, private schools and out of state. I mean, the only thing that we really need to be thinking about is in-state and public. And I know that may rub some of you guys wrong, and I'm fine with that, okay? Because as trying to lead the Lions, I get that I'm going to say things that not everybody agrees with. And a public in-state college, once you've reached that 300 and 400 level classes, I think that is a good investment. As you pay as you go, though, right? And that's the trick that, man, that student loan, it's a crisis.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And I think too, I didn't go that route personally. I went the 4-year degree, but at the same time, I had very clear expectations from my parents. You have right. 4 years. That is it. You know, luckily they paid my way through college, which I know I was very blessed to have that as an opportunity, but there was very clear expectations on what I should be doing and should not be doing, and exactly right. when it cut off, what was included, what wasn't included, to make sure that I went through it. And one of those was picking a career field that was viable.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of studies that are coming out and coursework that's coming out that has been out that has no value in the market.
Right.
And I think that's right. another major important one that we need to be raising up our kids of saying, hey, if you're going to school, you need to have an idea of what you want to do. And you need to steer right. clear of these. Like, you can go for any of these, but
right.
you know, you can't choose that because, you know, I'm paying for this or whatever. Like,
yeah. I mean, I've even coached guys and I sat down with a young man one time and he was like, well, I want to be a mechanical engineer. Okay, that's great. Why? Why do you want to be a mechanical engineer? Blank stare. And I was like, well, do you like engineering? Do you like math? Like, he's like, no, I think I can make a lot of money. I'm like, bro, you can make a lot of money doing a lot of things, right? Like, what's going to drive you? What's your passion? Because you're getting ready to drop some serious cheddar on mechanical engineering. And you don't even know why you want to do it. So that led down this path of, you know, understanding who he was and yeah. what his ambitions were and what his goals were. And that led us down to a path of graphic design. Well, that's not mechanical engineering, right? No. So, I mean, that was a great conversation, and his family was ecstatic that we had that conversation, but they were feeling good about mechanical engineering, as most people probably would. But like, if it doesn't align with what they want to do, it's why take that path, right?
I agree. I don't know. Yeah. I don't have much to add on to that. I mean, yeah. it is one of those. You got to just, I didn't know what I wanted to do in college until my junior year. I would say the end of my sophomore year.
Right.
And I think that's okay. But I also knew what I shouldn't be looking at either. You know, I knew what career fields to stay clear of.
Right.
So at least that I had some semblance of what I was doing.
So now let's shift, Adam. Let's talk to the guys out there that, you know, they're leading their families. They're, you know, they have bills coming in, and what they can do, they want to start getting their hands around the debt they have mm-hmm. and start building a path forward to get out of it. And, you know, for me, I always, when we sit down, I start coaching people. It always hands down, this is the Bible. It starts with budget. Because you have to understand, you got to understand where it's going, right? I mean, and that's, it's amazing how many times I sit down with people and like, well, let's talk about your budget. And it's, huh?
Right.
It's like, bro, come on now. You have to have a plan if you're going to win.
That's right. And, you know, I kind of almost want to pause so I can find the verse, but there is a verse in the Bible that talks about, you know, who goes out and builds, mm-hmm. but doesn't think about counting the costs, you know, like
right.
it is scriptural that you need to sit down and take account of what you have and what you're setting out to do. And that is, what do you owe? What is taking your inventory? What do you have? What's coming in? What's going out? And I agree with you 100%. The budget is what is going to, you're putting on your own handcuffs in order to bring you future freedom.
Right.
Once you get out of debt, I still live in my budget. The difference is my buckets are a lot different, bigger, and more exciting than having to spend all my money to something I'm mad that I had to pay for, you know?
That's right.
So,
and outside of, you know, infidelity, money, that is the biggest driver in divorce. Right. You know, Satan, guys, he's going to throw everything. He does not want your marriage to be successful, period. If you're a Christian man, that's the last thing he wants. He wants to chalk that up to another divorce. So you got to take this serious.
Right.
I mean, this is it. I mean, money's a stressor. Women, they view that it's a security. Right. And it's because, I mean, that's how God made them. And it's a wonderful thing. And we, as men, we need to be intentional here. And I know for me, when we started getting intentional about budgeting and sitting down, that opened up conversations with my wife that I knew it was important to her, but she also knew there was no gray area. You know, if we didn't have the money to do this one thing, or conversely, if we had a goal that we recognized we're working on this together, man, it was so much more alignment and ability to work towards that goal because we had the budget and we knew what we were working towards. And once we got there and got to spend that money, it was beautiful.
Oh, heck yeah. And, you know, what you said there, just to piggyback off of, you know, setting that goal, setting that vision of where you want to go, because it's really easy if you guys have a goal, a shared goal, unified vision, to want to not spend money. You know, my wife and I, we do this thing every year where we look at the entire year looking ahead. We try to do every 2 years or so, we do a 3, 5, 10 year look. And then every year we just do 1 year out and we put a word on it. And so this past year was little by little. That's because we bought a house. Like we were saving so hard so that we could buy the house. But the mindset behind it was, okay, now it's little by little. We need to slowly move in, slowly make changes to our budget because we're changing everything about our lives. What school our child goes to, what neighborhood we live in, a lot of our friends group, our church, like we changed a lot of things in 1 year and we tried to do that little by little, but it was easier to have those budget conversations because we had a shared goal of what that year would look like. And so when the hard conversations came up and we wanted to do something else, like, hey, maybe we should go here this weekend. Like there's no money. And it's not me telling her, because I happen to be the more money oriented person between the two of us. It's not me having to come to her and be like, I hold all the authority over you to say, no, that's a bad decision. No, not at all.
Right.
Let's just say, hey, remember, we agreed on this goal. We don't have it allocated. So we can't do that. But if we want this to happen, let's put it in the schedule. Let's move some things around. Maybe we'll do that next month or 2 months from now, however big that it may be. So I think you avoid so much. And what that's doing is putting you on the same page with your wife to communicate.
Yeah.
So you're going in and you're having better conversations because you're focusing on something good, you know? And then that way it controls how you're controlling your money.
No doubt. I love the that tip about giving it a name, a word for the year. Mm-hmm. That's killer. I mean, that's great stuff. So Guys, we're going to take a quick break, jump back into some more tips about debt here. At The Line Within Us, we discuss wealth a lot. And our sponsor at Investing for Beginners provides great resources for those wanting to take their knowledge of investing to the next level. Their monthly research e-letter is the best way to learn about the market and apply insight to begin growing your wealth. The newsletter tracks the founder's journey of managing a portfolio and shares how the decisions are made. For the beginning investor, this could be a great way to learn how to get started with investing from a company that is putting their money where their mouth is. I've been subscribing to their e-letter for quite some time, and it's something I look forward to every month, and I've learned a ton. They're a conservative group with an emphasis on a margin of safety. The Lion Within Us listeners can receive 15% off the monthly e-letter by visiting thelionwithin.us/IFB, that's Investing for Beginners, and using the promo code LION at checkout. That's thelionwithin.us/IFB, and use promo code LION to receive 15% off your monthly research e-letter. So, Adam, I think that tip about, you know, giving a word to the year, that's awesome. You know, as you start thinking through debt. And one thing I want to, for the lions out there that are in debt, first of all, give yourself some grace. It's okay. You will get out of this. But when Adam and I are talking about the budget, the quickest way to attack your debt, it that needs to be a serious line item in your budget. That's got to be a focus area.
Maybe you one know, of the only ones outside of the four main reasons.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you really have to pare that thing down. I mean, you're eating out, your groceries, all that type of stuff needs to be modified. You know, you're investing.
Yep.
You know, I went on an investing podcast and talked with a friend of ours, and my whole point of that whole conversation was, look, you guys are doing great stuff over here at, you know, teaching people how to invest. What I'm telling you is not probably most of the people that are investing aren't ready, you know, because they're not because they're out there on a boat. And the analogy I made was like, bro, you're paddling a boat that's like water's constantly coming in, and the whole time you're just pouring water back out, but you still have the holes in the boat,
right?
Like, You're never going to get the water out the boat until you plug the holes.
That's right.
So let's plug the holes of debt, and then we can sail that boat wherever we want to go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't agree more. We overextend ourselves because I think a lot of it comes to social pressure. You know, we want to keep up with the Joneses. We want to give our kids the best experiences. We want to live the lifestyle that our parents had, even though they've had the whole career to build up that wealth. What we didn't know when we were kids, you know, they were telling us to go outside and play with sticks because, you know, they weren't going to Disneyland.
Right.
You know, like, I think what's made it 10 times worse is social media. I mean, we do a good habit of, I have a social media account, I don't look at it. My wife, she takes long sabbaticals from it. She plugs in every now and then just to kind of make sure that, like, we do a lot of Facebook Marketplace trying to wheel and deal type of thing. But
right, right.
Other than that, like, we pretty much try and stay out of that world because you just see people's lives that look perfect.
Yep.
And
that's right.
There's some people that we know that we see some pictures and we're just like, that's not true. But okay. You know? And,
you know,
yeah,
when that comes up and when I'm coaching people and I'm talking with them about the Joneses, I remind them that don't keep up with the Joneses because the Joneses are broke.
That's right.
You know,
I mean, it doesn't look like it, but they are.
That's right. That's right. And you're right, though, man. That social pressure it's out there. It's real. It's legit. And, you know, we want to put our best images forward and we want the best for our kids and go on all these vacations and all these things. But if they do nothing but bring stress to you and your marriage, you're not helping your marriage.
Right.
You know, and at the end of the day, as lions leading our families, our marriage is sacred.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that we're building, you know, good habits and we're teaching our kids. And you know what? Our kids need to understand the meaning of the word no. And too many of them don't.
Yeah.
I mean, too many of them. It's just like, we're going to figure it out and we're going to sacrifice this. And I mean, but no is still an acceptable word.
It really is. But Chris, I want to throw something back at you here. On your debt-free journey to getting out of debt, how long did that take you?
For us, it took about 8 months.
8 months, okay.
To get there.
Now, mm-hmm. I would imagine hearing that, you probably had a lot of debt tied up in assets you could liquidate pretty quick. Like maybe a car.
Vehicles. Like yeah. A lot of it was vehicles, and then I had attorney fees because I've been through a divorce myself. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of things that was sitting there as well.
Yeah, see, a lot of mine was consumer debt. It's crap I bought. Put it on credit cards, you know? Took out a personal loan to cover that one.
Right.
It was really bad. Stupid. Just stupid stuff trying to, change the, take money from Peter to pay Paul and change the names to protect the innocent. I mean, that's how I did it. So for me, my getting out of debt journey was almost 2.5 years.
Right.
I shut the world off. I didn't go anywhere. Yeah. I had moved in with family. I lived out of the basement of my brother. I sold everything to my name to the point that my son probably thought that he was next. You know, it was just one of those.
Yeah.
And then I had to live that way for 2 years. So having to say that, you know, at the same time, like I was working forever, it felt like, but it disappeared. But it's one of those things that, like, I think people just want the easy button to hit it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just get rid of the debt. Okay, poof, it's gone. Well, some people don't, it's not that easy to get rid of. Some, it's like, hey, let's just sell the car and get a junker until we can get a new one, you know? But saying no is so important.
Right. Learning how to say no. And then you got to commit, you know, and you got to commit. I mean, that was 2.5 years of commitment for you.
Yeah. There's no half-ass in any paycheck. That's for sure.
No. I mean, you're all in.
Right.
I mean, you are all in on that. And, but you also have to keep in mind the end goal. But if we go back to our scripture, we know how God views debt.
That's right.
And as lions, that's what we got to keep in mind. So, guys, we're going to take one last quick break and then come back and a few more tips on debt and give you something to think about as we wrap this up. All right, guys, are you looking for something fun to do for a date night? I got it for you, and you're going to thank me forever. It's called the Sexploration List. It's going to open up a fun conversation to come together on the topic of sex. So to get your copy of the Sexploration List, we partnered with Uncovering Intimacy, and they have many more resources that are going to help you and your spouse come together, have a great conversation, and grow your sex life together. And we know at the Lion Within Us, to be a lion, to be the leader, you need a strong marriage. And that part of that strong marriage is a strong sex life. So guys, go to thelionwithin.us/sex, use the coupon code LION at checkout, and you'll get 10% off your order store-wide. So that's thelionwithin.us/sex, coupon code LION. All right. So Adam, we've talked about how the world views debt, how lions should view debt. We gave some tips around budgeting and how that needs to be a regular thing. You kind of walked us through your journey there. And, you know, as I start trying to wrap up this thing on debt, you know, we have to give ourselves some grace. You know, first of all, and understand, you know, you're not going to fix this. This may be a couple year journey like yours was. I do think, though, we need to draw a line in the sand, and you got to ask yourself, this is kind of the question of the week for us here. You know, are you man enough? Are you lying enough to make the changes now that's going to free your family from the bondage of debt in the future? Because if you can't say that, yes, today I'm going to make that change, then you're really kidding yourself.
Well, you know, as a lion, are you willing to stand out? You know, lion's the king of the jungle. But at the same time, you know, the lion within us is also talking about the Lion of Judah or God. God is within us. We are to be the light on the hill. We are to be the salt of the earth. And that's different. That is different. We are called to be in the world, not of the world. So we're supposed to look different. In debt, we shouldn't have it. We should be different. And I think, too, when you make these changes, your life will look different. But ultimately, if you're following God, you should be okay with that different, because you're supposed to be living differently to begin with. And if people can't tell you as a Christian, apart from someone who's not, then are you really standing up? Are you really going against the grain? Are you really trying to be the light on the hill? And that begs a serious question. So it's, you know, I'm saying this as a call to rise up and say, you're going to live differently because you don't want to be a slave to the lender. You don't want to live by the way that God says, don't do it this way. And when people ask you, when you look weird, when you're bringing lunch to the lunchroom, if you're even allowed to do that, if you're going in the office anymore. But I remember that, you know, mine was all pre-COVID, so I'd bring my lunch pail. I was like, let's go out to, you know, get lunch. I'm like, no, I'm good. I was the only person sitting there, you know, eating my peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
You know, so you need to be, like you said, are you willing to do something different, to be different, so that you can ultimately be more generous? Like, I used to not be able to give anything because I had to give it all away to all the people I took money from to begin with.
That's right.
Now I can actually bless others.
Right. And that's the great point. That was where I was getting ready to go. So glad you went us there, because what could God do with you, your income, your wealth that you're building to help build a kingdom if you weren't tied to so much debt, right? So, I mean, think about that as lines as you're out there. You know, God is funny. As you get and you prove that you're a good steward,
right,
and that you're living the way he wants you to live and in accordance to his will, get ready, guys, because you're going to be given more. And you're going to be given more to manage. And that's going to come with more responsibility. Yep. Now, most people, a lot of people, with that more comes, unfortunately, more debt. You know, so you got to be careful there. Align correctly with your values.
Yeah. And I will say one thing, and I know this is where you're going, but I would say this for your listeners. That's not prosperity gospel. We're not talking that if you put your quarter in the God vending machine, then he's going to give you something. But Jesus taught in parables, and there are parables of the sowers where he gives different the talents. And it is true. If you are a good steward, you will be given more responsibility. That's in the red letter section, you know?
That's right.
You can bet on that if you prove to God that you honor him in what you do, the Lord will bless you. Now, that may come in different ways.
Right.
And I'll say this. I struggled a lot during that time, in the 2 years, that 2.5 years that I was going through the debt process. I wanted to give, and I grew up in a Christian home to where I knew tithing was important. But how do you tithe when you can't pay anything? That was really rough for me. And so what I learned is that God wants your first fruits, but at the same time, you need to shore up your house. You know, just like on the airplane, you got to put the mask on yourself before you can do something else. And I came to the conclusion for me, and this might help some people out there, is give God what you have. You know, the little boy gave his 2 loaves and fish and fed 5,000 out of it. If you don't have money, do you have time?
That's right.
Do you have something else that you can give to the local church or donate or be a part of to advance the kingdom? Because that will enrich you and fuel you to be able to go after this while you're trying to get out of this slavery of being the borrower.
That's right. Great point. Great point. I love it. I mean, we have talents. You can give God those talents. You know, your time. You know, sometimes God just needs your time to touch someone's heart. You never know how he's going to use you. Mm-hmm. But if you don't make yourself willing to be that vessel, you're never going to be get that opportunity to really be able to bless someone. So, you know, Adam, debt is not a fun topic. I'm sure our listeners are they're sitting there thinking like, this is a tough one to swallow. But guys, take it for real. I mean, get serious about this. You know, figure out, are you man enough? Are you line enough to really step in and draw that line in the sand? And you know what? If you need help with that, we're here to help you. We're here to help you give that encouragement. So, Adam, any final thoughts here before we wrap up?
Well, Chris, I think this is awesome. I think what you're doing is awesome. And I fully support everything you're doing. And I agree. You know, I have been able to walk side of you now 3+ years and just watch how you handle yourself, handle your coaching, your mentorship of others, of yourself. It's an honor to be your friend and to be this close to see you. And so people who are listening, I would say reach out to Chris because he is he's the real deal. And he's going to give you the truth and maybe offensive, but.
Yeah, I don't mind stepping on toes, but I will tell you this, guys, I'm going to lead you with the Bible. Okay. And we got to get a line there. And then with the alignment with that, you know, we'll get your finances right. And Adam, it's always fun to have you on, brother.
Yep.
You know, for the Lions out there, that you know, I'm going to ask you, share this. Do not put it in your pocket because that's the worst thing you can do. There may be one of your buddies right now who's struggling with debt and he's too proud to tell you. And you know what? Share this story. Share this message with your group, with your friends, because you may not know their story, but this may prick them. This may hit their heart. And they, at that point, they may need to figure out how they can get help. And you know what? We're here to help. You know, we have a coaching process at The Lion Within Us. Go to our website, thelionwithin.us. Check us out right there. We have the Bible study. We have all the resources. You can get links to the podcast. It's all right there. So I really encourage everybody to go check that out. You know, join the community, sign up with us so you can make sure you catch everything that The Lion Within Us is building. Give us that 5-star rating. That really helps. Write a 1-sentence review. Hey, this was awesome. That's all you got to say. That really makes a big difference out there. And just guys, keep pushing. Because I know these topics are tough. We talked about wealth and debt and trying to get out of that. You can get there, and we're here to help you. So today is the day, and you can start unleashing the lion within.